Okay, we should be good.
All right, it is 5:15 and we will call the Finance Committee meeting to order. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? But before, we'll go around the room just to identify who's in the room. Audrey Nelson.
Andrew Plowman.
Rick Fagerling.
Rob Baumgarn.
Julie Osmus.
Steve Okuns.
And in the back, we have?
Fernando Alvarado.
And?
Shelby Lindry.
Thank you, thank you. Our first item is removal of pending special assessments. Steve's going to explain what this is, what's in suspense.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet on the committee action form, this was brought to light to staff due to the development on North, on County Road 5, the apartment complex that's going in. There were some suspended assessments due to the property being outside the city limits. It was for an old sewer line that was serving College View, actually. It was against the, the Thorpe property. The first one that's also listed in the resolution in your packet. In looking at it and reviewing it, it was determined that improvement was past its useful life and they will not be tapping into it. Whenever there is improvements, and we have a number of those, that there may be land that borders that's outside the city limits primarily, they are suspended until such time that property is annexed into the city. And the current assessment policy that we'll be reviewing in another month or so talks about when they do annex into the city, the tapping fees or the improvements are the higher of the current pricing to put the improvements in or the pricing at the time the improvements were done. And so the last couple of years, it looks like there's been a couple of them that have expired past their useful life and just have not been addressed. So this would address all those that you have on your list there that have exceeded their useful life. And for sewer, it's 40 years, and for streets, it's 20 years from the initial construction. So staff's recommendation is to pass a resolution to write off the $242,000 in suspended assessments. This dollar amount, the total that we have in suspended is $700,000+, and that's for various projects. And what happens is when the bond issues for these improvements get paid off, the Community Investment Fund, which we've talked about before, kind of buys this receivable, and it sits there until at such time the property is annexed. And if it's annexed, then they get the proceeds because the bonds have already been paid. And if they expire past their useful life, which is the instance for these, then we write that receivable off in that fund, and it just reduces the amount available.
So this will reduce the
receivable in the Community Investment Fund by $242,000.
Okay. So in essence, it'll reduce that fund by this amount.
That's correct.
Because it won't ever be collected.
That's correct.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions for Steve? This was something new that I had not seen. If anybody has any questions about this.
I assume in some form or form, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I assume that this affects bonding or bond review process in some form or fashion.
Yeah, when we look at the Community Investment Fund, again, when we look to available financing for street improvement programs, we look at the fund balance and not only the revenues coming in annually, but the fund balance and the amount of receivables that might be there. Example would be the assessments that were up in
Oslo Meadows.
That was an instance where they went tax deferred or tax delinquent. The Community Investment Fund kind of bought those receivables, but they were reduced down to what the assessments were and placed back on the value. So when they sold at tax forfeiture, Community Investment Fund now is receiving those into their coffers.
So that improves then?
Yeah, it improves in that case. Just kind of reverse of what we're doing tonight.
Mm-hmm. So some of these are really old.
Yeah, the Kelvig Sanitary Sewer is the one that runs south of the college through that agricultural field and comes back down along the east side of County Road 5. The Krebs Trust is on County Road 5 across from Jenny O on the south end. The other ones, I'm not sure where they are. You can see by the addresses
really
there.
The yeah. rest are...
Yeah, that Krebs one is the largest of all of them. And that's for that pavement project that was done past the agricultural property, and it's outside the city limits.
All right.
Now what happens is these people, since they did not, weren't assessed for these improvements, when and if they are annexed into the city, then they will have to pay a tapping fee if the services are available. If the services aren't available, they will have to pay 100% of the new improvements because they haven't got services.
Go ahead, yes.
How about the proposed development on North County 5? Is that going to have any kind of, is that going to be impacted in any way by any of these properties?
That's what kind of instituted us looking at this, is because of the Thorpe.
That's what I thought.
Was against that property. Mm-hmm. They're proposing from discussions with engineering to service that to the southwest.
Yeah.
Because if it was to go this direction, it would go then down into the lift station by the Coca-Cola bottling plant, which is somewhat overloaded now. This will take it right directly into the western collector and feed gravity all the way to the new plant.
I heard that there's more capacity going the other direction. So
yeah, so that's what they're proposing for that development, especially with the number of units that are going in on that apartment complex.
So it'll go along County Road 5?
It's actually going to go
past the trailer park?
It's actually going to feed into the services that feed that development.
Valley Brook.
In my neighborhood.
Yeah.
How does it get there, though?
That's the county on West County 5. I mean, you're at the top of the hill, and it kind of cuts, I think, like he said, I think it kind of cuts southwest across that field, and then there's a big park there.
Yeah.
I think it continues to cut across that park, which is downhill diagonally to the southwest, back to and through Valley Brook.
So there's an easement on the Thorpe property for that?
There will be required an easement, plus they will be required to extend the services all the way through their property so that if and when the property to the north is annexed, that they will be able to just tie into that entire service. That's required in any new developments that are annexed in, that they have to carry it all the way through their property. And that'll be a requirement of the plat.
Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, this is coming as a request from the city clerk, and we need to have a motion to adopt a resolution to remove these as listed.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution approving removal of pending suspense of special assessments for said improvements made during 1974, 1991, 1998.
All right.
Second.
Thanks, Julie. We have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution to remove these pending and suspense special assessments. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the Wilmer Township Fire Agreement.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet is the committee action form with a five-year history plus the 2019 proposed amount for Wilmer Township fire contract. As we've discussed in the past, there's a state formula that is used where the, it's kind of a complicated, it's in your packet as well, formula where you take into account the number of fire calls, which would include the man hours, and then they then pay a proportionate share of the operating costs. And as I mentioned, there's it's included in your packet as far as the formulas that are used. It looks like there's a substantial increase over 18. That's primarily due to the number of firefighter hours. In 18 was 142, and in 2019 there's 220. If you look at 2014, which was the largest year, there were 647 firefighter man hours. So it depends on the number of fire calls and the severity of them.
Arnold's caught on fire, wasn't it?
14?
Yeah.
That's possible. And so the man hours add up on a larger fire.
Yeah.
So this is the same type of formula and agreement that we use with Dovery Township. Those are the two townships that we have fire contracts with. And it's based on the number of sections as well that each township has with the city. So,
go ahead, Julie.
How do they come up with the money when it varies like that every year?
They take that into consideration in their levy, their property tax levy in March. Their annual meetings are in March, so that's why this is kind of good timing for them, because then they get it and they're setting their budgets.
Okay. Yes.
This equation hasn't changed in the last however long, so it's not going to come to them as a big shock.
No. Yeah. No. This is the same formula that's been used for.
Is it the
many
State
years.
Fire Association that came up with the formula? I remember we had that conversation previously.
Yeah, it's one that's commonly used throughout the state for fire contracts with townships and cities.
Yeah.
Well, it seems consistent and straightforward, so.
Right. Move to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the Wilmer Township Fire Agreement as presented. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we are going to talk about the Civic Center Booster Project.
Madam Chair and Committee, tonight before you is to seek the approval with the Seating and Athletic Facility Enterprise SAFE for the Bleacher Project out to Civic Center. They are a cooperative partner with the state contract number 174ALT. What's been good about this project is that at the Civic Center, we have taken some bleachers out to help with this project. It's squared up and made the arena more uniformed on both sides, because when I've been out there for 3 years, the two end pieces were never being used for any of the sporting events or other dry floor events that we have. So we removed those and were able to put the Warhawk shed there, a mini weight room, and a little bit more extra storage. So we've been able to shrink down the bleacher project a little bit, and the bid came in really good for us. The cost of the bleachers is just shy of $200,000. One thing that we've also worked with this group on is instead of putting a handicap ramp back into it, because technically you would have to have it on both sides, and by adding those prices up, and I just got the bids in for the two elevator lifts, it's actually cheaper to put the elevator lift in than to put the two handicap ramps in on both sides. So we're going to be able to save some dollars that way. Also, Civic Center staff is removing the bleachers, so that's going to save us $10,000. It's actually a pretty simple process to do, because they're just bolted to the wall. Basically, take the bolts off, wheel them out, and we take them apart as well, because we salvage that wood. So we've been using that wood for other projects as well. So it's good. Mm. Southern yellow pine. And then we take the steel in and get the money for the steel. So
what's the structure of the new bleachers? What are they made of?
What?
The new bleachers.
No, they're going to be red.
Plastic.
Just like the high school.
They're plastic?
Yeah, they're going to be eject molded red ones.
Okay.
Very similar to what the high school has right now. The only thing that we've upgraded the flooring on it, just because of the moisture content on it. So they're going to be painted on the bottom, and they're going to have a plastic covering on the top. So if anyone's been at Lakeland Elementary, they have the same style of bleacher that's on the flooring. Because right now it's just strictly painted plywood at the arena. Mm-hmm. And if you've never pulled them out before, they are a bear cat. It takes three or four of us to do it, and then it's the old two-finger rule. If we can get the gap right, then we're good. If not, we got to push them back in and then pull them back out. And, you know, they're original bleachers, so they serve their time. Some of the metal clips are bent underneath, and so it's time. We're getting them coated, zinc plated as well underneath, so that's going to help with any type of rust that's going to happen.
Go ahead, Julie.
I thought we were just buying one handicap lift.
We are. Yep.
Oh, I thought I thought you just said it needs to happen on both sides.
If we did the ramps.
Got it. Oh, but you can get by with one lift.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it's built into the bleacher on the other side to a point. It's got the gradual one. So now we get to ADA compliant because now they can use the mezz and the deck as well.
Is there anything else out there that's not ADA compliant?
No, we're pretty good because the elevator lift that's over on the blue line side gets it to the warming section that's over on the south side of the rink, and they can get to the other viewing area. So they can get to everywhere.
And this is the pricing for the bleachers only. The lift will be coming once you get that.
Yep. And the only other things that we see with this coming into is that we're going to have to get an electrician in to bring some power to the elevator and for the bleacher, because there'll be one guy now operating it and pulling them in and pulling them out. The user groups are going to be very happy about that because they can do some dry land training at that time, and we're going to be able to keep the bleachers a lot cleaner as well.
And what was the budget?
We were at $300,000 for it.
Okay, you're $100 under budget. Mm-hmm.
That'll have to cover the lift.
Yeah, what's the lift?
Okay.
And electrical.
25. Yeah, 25. I had two of them. One came in at 32, and one was 25. So, 75,000.
Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the fact, number one, that city staff is able to do a lot of this work. That's awesome. Instead of having to contract it out, because it's always a money saver. It's great that we can reuse the materials, the recycling aspect of that. I mean, that's always a good thing when we can do that, and it's going to be aesthetically pleasing, and I think in terms of performance and look and all that, it just seems like it's going to be beneficial all around. So, good job.
I was just going to comment, this has been a long time coming, so it's nice to see that it's there and under budget, and it sounds like the changes that you've made have enhanced the Civic Center too, so thank you.
Yep.
All right.
We probably didn't have to have an architect for this, huh?
No, we just had the vendor come in and draw it out and everything, and and now with the wall refab too, that's going to make the arenas go look night and day different.
The reason we brought it to the committee is because of the dollar amount exceeds in the purchasing policy, so that's why we need a resolution authorizing the purchase and the agreements, even though it was budgeted and it's under budget.
All right, who would like to enter that resolution?
I'll enter that motion. Make that motion to approve the $199,777 from the 2019 CIP for the bleachers at the Wilmer Civic Center.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution to approve the purchase of the bleachers from Seating and Athletic Facility Enterprise. Where are they? Sorry?
By the New Ulm and Marshall area.
Okay.
He does so much around the area.
All
so.
Right.
Ellendale.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Ellendale?
Yeah.
Heard of it.
All right, I apologize for that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll now just move to discussion item, which is...
Oh, we have one more.
You got one more. Yeah. Reappropriation of funds.
It's for the part-time salaries.
Oh, I apologize. Cool. Yep. When I was thinking of the reapportion for that. Mm-hmm. I apologize. All right, we're back to Rob.
I'm chairing the committee. This is kind of a unique one for me because this is my first time going through budgets and everything like that, and looking at the Aquatic Center budget, I noticed that their part-time salaries were way out of whack from this past year. It was budgeted at $81,000 and they overspent it to $103,000. So we have a deficit of $22,000. And so talking with Finance Director Oakens, how do we make that up? Because it was already been established that the next year's budget is also going to be at $81,000. So how are we going to make that up? And working with Finance Director Oakens, we looked at some budget type of items. Where can we adjust fees and everything to help offset that cost? And then we looked at the Civic Center full-time staffing, and that the arena manager was still in there for dollars. So would it be appropriate to adjust those to the other programs that we have as far as the Aquatic Center, and knowing what we're trying to do with the Park and Rec Department as well as far as programming, I'm fearful that we may be tight with that part-time budget as well. So those are where I'm requesting the funds to be adjusted.
So Rob, when we hired two people out there. I thought we were using the funds from the arena manager to fund that second position out there. That there was a discussion about one, and then it went to two. And I thought since we weren't hiring an arena manager that those funds were being used for those two positions.
Yeah, I don't know where that happened at, as far as, because I think the budget was pretty much already in set and it just didn't ever come off of it. I don't think there's any formal action saying that the arena manager is now going to be cut from the Civic Center, just of the time frame of when I was hired and when everything rolled through.
I know Rob and I have talked about this, and the timing, we looked back at the timing to see when we were, where we were at in the budget process. And at the time that they were advertising and doing the reorganization, I know that they had talked about the construction manager's position, one rec mm-hmm. supervisor. It was going to be a even kind of, because we were paying for half of the community ed and rec director and two rec supervisors and a clerical staff member. And we talked about the full-time rec supervisor, one rec supervisor, the full-time rec director, the construction manager, and the clerical, and it was going to be an even switch. And so when that additional rec supervisor was added, I don't know if there was any kind of formal direction to take it and eliminate the arena manager. I don't think there was any action by the council to dissolve that position officially. So during the budget process, we kind of left it in there, and then when we were balancing at the end with the insurances and the departments were given the direction to balance it out, that position still remained there. So it would have reduced the amount we would have had the departments require had we dissolved it. So that's why it was still there.
Thank you. So just in simpler terms so I can understand it, mm-hmm. To take it to remove that item and that expenditure from the budget before those decisions were actually made. I mean, that would have been the premise behind leaving it in place until the decision was made rather than eliminating it and then potentially running short.
Exactly. If Mr. Baumgarten wouldn't have been hired for the rec supervisor's position or been successful and hired for that, then that he would have still been in the arena manager's position, and the rec director would have been filled by somebody else. So,
got it. Yeah. Okay.
But just the timing of how everything fell mm-hmm. is why that position was still funded.
It might be helpful for us to just have those figures, I mean, kind of those sure. that budget to supplement the decisions here. I know that this is addressing the 2019 budget for this. Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you're keeping the same structure there, but we still are going to later have to deal with the 2018 that was never addressed. So this is looking at what we're doing for 2019, so that as Rob starts his hires, he knows what his budget is, and I believe the increase last year was the salaries for, they have had a hard time with recruiting
lifeguards,
etc., and it was changed to match, I think,
what the county was doing.
Yeah. Okay.
It's always been the competition of, all right, we pay this salary, and then the county pays this salary, and all the kids are gravitating to the higher salary, and we're having a hard time.
But it was done without it running through the budget process.
Right. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and it would not be a good thing running, you know, going into, I mean, here within, I know it seems like the dead of winter, but here we are, March. Another 3 months, and we're going to be warming up. And to have an understaffed aquatic center.
He said we're going to warm up.
I think it's going to warm up. I think it might. We don't want to be understaffed because that's a community asset that when it does get warm and hot out, it's well used. And if we don't have the appropriate staff, then it becomes a safety issue.
And I know you were asked the question at another meeting about your part-time staff, you're getting your budget ready for part-time staff in general for this year too. So it might be helpful for us to have those pieces to supplement that.
We have all those numbers, and we had them during the budget process. Again, it was a timing thing of does that position remain in there or not, and so.
Any
go ahead.
Since you're here, do we have to have someone at the splash pad too, watching that or not?
We don't right now, no.
Don't anticipate?
No.
Okay, just wondering.
The design is that it can operate on its own.
Yep.
It's more about the park itself versus the splash pad.
So as Rob put in his committee action form, there's no additional cost. It's just shifting the dollars out of the arena into those part-time categories from the full-time. So.
And the question?
Yeah, the 2018 item that you mentioned will be coming at our first meeting in April when we talk about the 18 unaudited numbers.
Okay. Yeah, so if we're just moving the 22,000 over, what's happening with the rest of the salary that would have been set aside for that?
It's not the 22, it's down further.
Well, the 26,000.
Yep.
What's happening to the rest of that salary money then?
It just stays in the Civic Center budget.
Well, the difference is actually the 81 that he mentions, or the there's 26,000 that's being proposed to go into the Civic Center.
Right.
From the Civic Center to the Dorothy Aquatic Center.
Yep.
And an additional 25 to Park and Rec part-time. So it's a total of
51.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So there'll be about $30,000 left there that can be reappropriated by the council somewhere else.
That's why I was asking for the whole budget, mm-hmm. so that we could take a look at where we're at.
Yeah.
All right.
It's still not enough what we need.
No.
I'll keep looking.
Find a few more of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone want to make that motion?
So moved.
Is it a motion?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion and a second to reappropriate the 26,000 and 25,000. Any further discussion?
Just one last comment, if I could. I mean, at the time in April, when we look at the excess or carryover from 18, we'll also have these items where we clean up in the 19 budget as well. So another month, we'll see what the council wants to do.
We'll work on that,
mm-hmm.
seeing what we want to do. Right? Sorry. All right, motion and second. Did we vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
If you need to, there's nothing else, I don't think. Unless you want to hang around, you can. Well, you're more than welcome to stay.
Let's go, Daddle.
Pretty fun crowd.
Yeah.
Maybe I can make it to basketball practice still.
Oh, do you have that tonight?
Yeah. Oh. Mike's running it right now. Got some time, I think.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next is discussion item that I was anxious to get to. The 2018 report of outstanding indebtedness.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet is an annual report that we need to certify each year to Candiwick County. They take that with all the taxing jurisdiction, the county, and then they report it to the state auditor. So as you see there, we actually paid more than we had bonded for, to the tune of $671,000. We paid off 7.9. That's our annual debt. The reason I included that at this point is because of our discussion of the major projects and the financing schedule that we talked about at our last meeting. And so this is always included in our annual financial report as well. The big items that you see there under GEO revenue are basically for the waste treatment plant, and the hospital still has a chunk in there as well. With the leasing of Rice Hospital to Caris Health, the debt still remains with the city. The lease covers that debt, and then the assets, the property assets, will show up in our general assets as well. So we have the general long-term debt and the assets. So the only two things that are some of the major changes in our financial report this year. Rice Hospital and the municipal utilities are always incorporated in there as component units, where now Rice Hospital numbers will all be withdrawn except for the debt and the assets.
Excuse me.
So this is an annual requirement that we need to file with the...
Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, so I have a question, not being a financial person, but maybe you can help explain it. Is there something similar to, like, loan-to-value ratio that a homeowner would have or something like that? Is there something similar to that that are that's used or done with these types of items?
Well, it is when we go out for a bond rating, they look at the categories of debt that you see here. An example would be, I'll use the example of the discussion that we're having on the local option sales tax of $30 million. When we go out and propose that we're going to borrow money and we talk to the rating agencies, they'll look at the not only our debt compared to the ability to pay and the revenues that are coming in, which is kind of the loan-to-value ratio and the assets. But they also look at the overlapping jurisdictions of Kennewick County and the school district and their debt and their ability to pay.
So it's a much more comprehensive number and process, taking a look at the equity that exists in those various areas.
Yeah, by statute we're allowed to, and I don't remember, it's in our financial report, have just general obligation, a certain percentage of our market value, our property value in the community. Okay. We have no just general obligation debt, even though you see their general obligation of 2.7. Nothing where there isn't a revenue backing or assessments paying for it. Okay. We don't have anything where it's just a general obligation on it. So that's another factor.
About bond capacity?
That's the statutory requirement, yeah. On bond capacity, and it's a certain percentage of your market value.
Because because we're the utilities, and I mean it's a combination of entity or not entities, but
yeah, and the reason they only look at the just strictly general obligation if there isn't assessments or other revenues paying a portion of it, is because that goes then strictly 100% on the property tax roll, and that's where again our discussion about where we had created the community investment fund. Even though those levies are certified to the county, since that fund has been established, the city has never, we've always canceled those levies that are on for special assessments because the community investment fund revenues have been able to pay for it. So they also look at that, and we dissolve those. So those are some of the things that we talked about last time that the council will want to look at moving forward as far as that process.
If we need to go outside of the amount that's available to us, we'd have to look at some of those processes,
options,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Did that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Because they look not only at the total, which is this is rather large for a community of our size, and again, it's primarily due to the waste treatment plant and the hospital, which a lot of communities don't have. So they take that into consideration. And our revenues are such that it's paying for both of those. So it kind of nullifies that factor when they look at it.
Yeah. Well, and I just wondered if it was, and I had assumed so, but that is a more complex, in-depth process that categorizes those things as opposed to just a number ratio, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean they still do look at it kind of, you know, what's the community value, and some of the items that we always talk about when we're talking about that is the ability to increase the tax base. So the last local option sales tax, which allowed us to move the airport and freed up the industrial park land, is a big plus for us. Even though the one project that was tentatively set to go has kind of now isn't, it's still it's shovel ready. It's that's where you're going to increase your tax base. The other asset that we would talk to them about is Midwest Campus.
Sure.
And that really impresses them as far as that asset to the community and the ability of the community to pay for debt.
Monetize that. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions on this? This is simply to receive for information, so we do not need a motion on this. We're good to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item, and just keeping with what we talked about, is next meeting dates and things that will be on our next agenda.
I do have some items that I will be putting on the calendar that will be out. As we mentioned on our first meeting in April, we'll be talking about the unaudited financial numbers for 2018, which would include any excess dollars that we just mentioned for 19. I'll be adding to that industrial development budget amendment if the council wants to address that at that same time. We had budgeted, you know, for the sale of the property, which is now, it doesn't look like it's going to materialize, so we can leave the budget, or if you want to revisit that and look at that $700,000 that we had planned and what other balances are available there for what projects might be out in that area. I know the council, you know, took some action on the maintenance, utility maintenance agreement with the utilities on the water lines for the Y project. That's something that wasn't budgeted anywhere, so it may be something that we want to address. And then we have also received back our waste treatment rates study. There's an indication, as we're going through the budget process, if you recall, we had talked about that would be coming back. The study has indicated that there's not a need to raise rates this year or possibly next, and it will depend on what the council does with Eagle Lake Sewer District and the capital programs. So that will kind of fall into place for the 2020 budget process. And then the comprehensive assessment policy that we handed out last time, I would schedule that probably for the 18th, and so we'll do a revised schedule for everybody.
Okay.
So if
April
you have,
18th.
April 18th, yep. Yeah. And then the MUAY project would be discussed at that industrial park because the council authorized signing the agreement, which was $1.3 million, even though there was discussion about it being about $800,000 on actual bid pricing. The documents actually are what drives the recording of what we have to record as a liability. And I know the utilities are talking about it, and so there may be need of an agreement between the utilities and the city to share in the 50-50, because there's nothing really formal in place, just there was a motion. And so we'll have that in the April agenda as well. We have Rice Trust report that we can put on for our next one, because that's just information that's through the end of the year, even though the Rice Hospital Board kind of handles that now and administers it, but it's still information for the city, because if Rice Hospital, if the Rice name ever was removed from the hospital, that would then go
change the trust
to a different allocation.
So you're adding that to March 21st?
Yes. Yep.
Is Bremer Bank and Marshall still?
The Bremer Bank here actually administers now, yeah. That's Scott Schultz. We deal with
I'm trying to remember.
First name.
We had a hospital board meeting this week, yeah. And two of the trustees had met with them regarding the trust, but I don't remember who they said they met with. So
Jeff Schultz,
yeah.
I believe, is okay. Who the trustee is, and we deal with Bremer here on some other financing things. We have a meeting scheduled. As you were aware, they stepped up and bought the bonds, the last ones that we sold last year, and so there's some things that are discussions that are going on as far as their participation in financing future projects, especially community projects. So I think some of the local option sales tax ones are prime ones that are community-based, that they have also coordinated with the other lending institutions. Some of them, as you know, we've had 4 to 5 different institutions, so there's really community support from the lending community.
You're in, Steve. When are you anticipating that we will?
I'm hoping to have that at our first meeting in April, April 4th, the unaudited.
Okay.
Oh, 2018, yeah, financial report.
That's there.
Some of the things that are delaying it are the CARES Health and some of the other things that are, we have to do some changing and formatting and stuff like that, because that's no longer in there. And
okay.
So.
What was the other thing you added to April 4th?
The industrial development budget,
that was it.
With the Y discussion, with the Y project and the amending that, because we're not anticipating selling that land at this point. Plus the Y project, there was going to be some dollars there that I think the successful bidder is not going to need to borrow or something. So.
Yeah, it has to do with.
But if there are.
Earth moving in aggregate.
Yeah. If there are other things that any of the committee members want to schedule in there too, that's what I have planned on doing for our meetings, is just putting it out there so that not only the committee but the council will know when we're going to be discussing things.
All right, good. And that kind of fits, we already kind of talked about future agenda items, so is there anything else? Otherwise I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I thought we were going to get an update tonight on some background or research you were going to be doing today about the Cambridge project and the local option sales tax.
So Steve is still doing research on that.
Okay.
And we will be getting that at our next meeting with that. So that'll be on, more than likely, on the list for March 21st.
Yeah.
There's still some T's to cross and I's to
okay. Yeah,
we've had a couple of communications both with the league and our bond consultants about can dollars be used or can it and when it can be used. And indications are at this point that it can be used, but that there is the public perception or the political posturing that would be the question the council would have to kind of have clear in their own mind.
Sure.
And so
I think there's just a concern of how the legislature could address that or could look at that. And so we want to, before we have any more discussion on it, I think we, you know, we talked about that last night. And
right, a little bit.
We need the time to make sure that that what the information we get has been completed. So
okay. The understanding.
The
yes.
The understanding I left with last night was that you were making a phone call today and that we would get updated tonight
okay.
on what that information
and
was.
And part of that okay. was done and part of it's not. So.
Got it.
I have had conversations with the league and they concur with our bond attorney. So.
Yeah, I'm most concerned with just having all of the information so that when we have the discussion, it can be a
yes.
complete discussion
yes.
and there's not one portion of it left out, because otherwise...
Yeah.
And
we aren't on any deadline with that, even if
sure.
we go back, because it's still... So I just soon wait.
Okay.
I had that on my list here for March 21st, the Cambridge financing options, and I'll probably change it to local option sales tax usage
okay.
and timing.
My only thought on that, though, was... If we were making the decision that it couldn't be a come out of the lost funds, then we would have to have a discussion about where it was going to come from, and then that would move up the start of that project instead of waiting until after the legislature.
Steve will be coming
yep.
back with other options so that if we make a decision, we can look at what
okay.
does that mean.
Yeah, it's whenever there's a project that isn't budgeted or happens to the timing falls outside of the budgeting process, and I've kind of tried to explain to the council in the past that if it's a departmental request for something that came up, we look to the department budget first. If their department budget can't make it, then we look at the other departmental budgets to see if it can do it. If it's a capital project, we've always had the Public Improvement Revolving Fund, which is $1 million that can temporarily fund it, giving the council up to 5 years to determine exactly where you want to go. And so, but then there's uses of other reserves, and then we also will have some excess carryover in 18, which is a possibility.
Which we haven't figured out yet.
Yeah, we have an idea of what it is, but it's better to firm that up a little more.
It is included in the report that Sean gave us originally. So
there are two yeah. projects in there, and if you recall, some of our discussion was that the Community Investment Fund wasn't able to cover what's being proposed, and we purposely they are recommending what they feel needs to be done, and then it's up to finance to discuss how to finance it. Those two projects are the stormwater for the Cambridge project and the signal lights out on County Road 5, and there's been discussion going on, do we still do that, and that will fit into our industrial park discussion as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other requests, comments? Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. 6 o'clock. We did it.
Woohoo! Awesome. Good job.
Good job, guys.
Better last night.